Okay, welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends Talking Sport for your Saturday. Hey, thanks for joining us. Good morning, Joey and Jay. I don't remember you saying that you'd do this show nude, but now I'm terrified, mate.
Yes, I think I said, I'm just trying to think, I said if Carlton didn't list Michael Gibbons, I would do this show nude. And thank goodness,
thank goodness they signed Michael Gibbons after hearing that. Thank you, Carlton Football Club. You've saved us all.
Absolutely. How was the week? Valentine's Day on Thursday, the 14th of Feb. Did you get your romance on, boys?
Yes, I did, Emma. My wife is a romantic, Rosie. She loves her little moments like that. So I organised flowers to be delivered Valentine's Day morning.
How much do they sting you, Joey?
Yeah, not cheap, the flowers. And then when they add on the delivery fee on the top of it, it was worth it because Erin enjoyed the nice surprise. She's been excellent as a mother to a seven-month-old Noah. So I got her this beautiful big bunch of flowers, put them in the vase on the table, Jay.
Yep.
And then the day ended in disaster because I was feeding Noah on the table because he can now sit up in a bit of a high chair, a little bumbo, feeding him. Put the vase right down at the end of the table.
Oh, no.
And as I'd finished and was cleaning up, the little bugger can now arch his back all the way back, and he leant back far enough to just grab onto a leaf the flowers and pulled down the whole vase. Oh. Water went everywhere. The flowers went everywhere. And it's fair to say, Erin, I got the little lecture from Erin about, you can't leave him close. So in the end, it ended a bit in disaster. But it was the thought that counted, Emma.
Absolutely, Dar. Well done.
But Noah showing a nice bit of athleticism there.
It was actually very impressive. I thought I put the vase right at the other end of the table, and he was clever enough to lean back and get it. So
he's only 7 months old.
Oh, he's a little fidgeter. Once he gets up and starts walking around, there'll be no stopping him. So, it was very impressive. Nice, though. We had a nice little room. What about you, Jay? You would have done something romantic. No. You're a very romantic man.
I can't believe you've been sucked into this commercialised crap, Joey. It's fair to say. It's something for card companies to make money out of. It's just commercialised nonsense. I don't need to pay $150 for some roses on Valentine's Day just to let my wife know that I love her.
How do you let her know that? I'm intrigued.
Every day is Valentine's Day, Joey. So look, we've got our wedding anniversary coming up next week. So that'll be the
okay. So you do something special. Show.
Yeah. So nothing. We didn't even mention it, Emma. What about
no,
you guys?
I'm not into it. I know that's unusual for a girl, but no, I'm not into it. We went to the pub that night and had dinner and watched a bit of the cricket and
perfect.
You know, just really chilled out. I'm really different to most women when it comes to Valentine's Day. Although it's my sister's birthday, so she works at a hair salon in town, and I had to send her flowers. You know, I wanted to send her something nice into work to celebrate her birthday. I get stung for the Valentine's Day markup even to send birthday flowers.
Yeah.
That's really
true.
Cruel, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And she doesn't get 2 days to celebrate with her boyfriend. She just gets one, you know, big day to celebrate both Valentine's Day and turning another year older.
What about you,
Rosie? Did you do anything?
I had to this year because I bought my partner some lovely roses to make up for last year because I went out and got hammered in the afternoon with some girlfriends.
Here we go.
Got home in the evening and he was in bed and grumpy and my flowers were dumped in the sink.
Oh,
that's a hissy fit.
We're not usually a Valentine's Day couple, so
yep.
I think we're square now.
Yeah, I think you leave it there.
Yeah.
Right, well, coming up this morning, we're going to talk a lot more sport. We're going to chat to one of the biggest stars in the game who's also captaining one of the AFLX teams next weekend, Patrick Dangerfield. And with the BBL final tomorrow, we'll see how things are looking for the Melbourne Stars. Of course, there's an all-Melbourne final now, boys, which is exciting after the Renegades winning over the Sixers last night.
Been waiting for this for years, haven't we? Renegades versus Stars final.
Yeah.
So all happening tomorrow.
I'm a Renegades man, Joey.
I'm a Stars man, big Stars fan.
Love the rivalry, and preseason is in full swing as well. The Demon Sam Frost will give us a bell too. Now, we were going to talk about Winx. She does make her long-awaited return to the racetrack today. But, Jay, we actually want to talk to you about your weekend, last weekend, and ask how the barbecue was because
there
was a lot of emphasis on buying the different varieties of snags.
We took calls
on that.
Yeah, we did.
How was the barbecue?
Yeah, it was good. I got a variety of sausages.
Did you?
I think the Italian was my favourite, Joey.
And you were a good host.
I was a good host, except for the fact that it sort of went a little bit haywire in the sense that our five-month-old, like, it took me an hour and a half to put him to sleep. So he went to sleep for like 20 minutes and then woke back up and then just he's teething and just had one of those absolute nightmare put down sessions. So the snags were good except for the the fact that I was, they were probably a little bit cold by the time I got to them. Just
right. So, okay, so let me get this straight. You're saying your barbecue was a little bit of a fizzer because of your five-month-old. That's what you're saying was the problem.
Yeah.
Because I did a little bit of investigating during the week, actually, and I came across a bit of intel.
This is a stitch-up, isn't it?
I came across a little bit of intel to hear about this barbecue that we had to do a whole segment on last week. We took talkback calls on your barbecue. And let me just, I want you to say whether this is correct or not. First of all, it wasn't even a barbecue. I believe you cooked the snags on a fry pan in the kitchen. The ultimate sin. Yeah. Secondly, you served wholemeal bread, which everyone said you do not serve wholemeal bread.
Just white
with sausages. We spoke about condiments. Do you get some mustard? Do you get some relish? You only had tomato sauce in the bottle as the only option. And not only that, I believe you then made your mates do their own dishes after having the barbecue. So you've just tried to say it's your five-month-old son for not going to sleep as the reason. Now, I'm hearing that your barbecue, as a host, you may not have been the greatest host of this world's greatest barbecue that you were talking about and building up last
Great
Saturday.
Great intel, Joey. Is that correct?
They didn't, no. Well, the last part is not correct. They didn't have to do their dishes.
because they were paper plates. They just threw them in.
they were stacked. Oh, geez, this is good mail. no, look, it's fair to say.
I like this journalism paper, and I'm not going to reveal my sources either.
Oh, I love it.
It didn't quite go to plan, and my phone is lighting up, so they have... You have got some good mail. No, look.
Start with the barbecue. Start with the fry pan.
We know we're not
the most manly men, Emma, and you'll learn this as you goes on. Jay and I aren't very good with our hands, but surely.
Yeah. You ran out of gas, did you, with the barbecue? What happened? Would you get a new bottle or something?
There was cold outside, and because I had my 5 month old.
Oh, God, you're a sook now.
I couldn't take the 5 month old out in the cold. Look, the guys out there will know sometimes when it gets a bit chilly in the barbecue and you're trying to juggle the kids, sometimes it is just a bit easier to do them on the hot plate.
No, it's not.
And that's what happen.
No, it's not.
So, look, just the dead horse, and I'm a fan of the wholemeal bread, and look, all of you can go get stuffed off. All we were talking about winks here.
We'll do that later.
No wonder you weren't giving me much pre-show on the winks front. So, look, it didn't quite go to plan, the old barbecue segment, even though we spent 2 seconds talking about it. So,
what did the wife say on our WhatsApp group? You're always sending photos of, trampoline outings, painting plate outings, nothing from the alleged barbecue.
Yeah, no, she didn't go to plan. Mm. It's fair to say, but look, you got to get back on the horse and the next one will be better. And
you've learned from your mistakes, I hope.
Yeah. So it was too cold to go outside and cook the barbecue.
It was very chilly.
That's where you got to sacrifice. There's always one. You've got to sacrifice. If you're hosting, you have to sacrifice that. Put a jumper on. Get out there, cook the barbecue, entertain your mates. They can stay inside, look after the kids, have a few drinks while you take on the barbecue role. And then, unfortunately, you failed in that capacity. Yeah. So
obviously, poor delegation, mate. You just got to delegate these tasks to different people in the household.
I do not trust my mates with my five-month-old. At one stage, I passed it to Gilbert.
Watch your phone really light up now.
To Gilbert, and he was holding his beer, and he just sort of looked at me and shook his head. So I was a one-arm cook for the night. And
how'd the hens go then anyway? How'd your wife enjoy the hens night?
Yeah, well,
the
good.
The girls had a good night. What time did they roll in?
She had a few champers. I think she got home about 3 a.m.
They had a much better night, the girls. The boys all went home with a bit of a fizzer. The girls all came home and had a ball.
Well done, ladies. Sorry about that, Jay. We will talk about
We'll touch on it later in the second hour.
I'll get you guys back, don't you worry.
Yeah, sure. Finally, after our barbecue chat, let's talk a little bit of sport and get into the footy, boys.
Yes. This is the time of year, Joey and Em, where you don't want injuries, it's fair to say. Well, the players and coaches got their fingers and toes crossed that they get a good run from here, but weren't hearts in mouths at Collingwood yesterday when the superstar midfield forward, Jordan Ngoi, goes down, clutching his left foot, rolling around, agonising in pain, needs help from trainers to get off the ground. Now, at this stage, Collingwood's pretty confident that'll be right for round one. He's going to be in a moon boot off legs for a week, and then they're going to reassess, saying it's just a midfoot sprain. But I'd be pretty surprised, Joey, whether he plays any JLT games.
Yeah.
So he might be coming cold to round
possibly.
One.
Possibly. It's a hard time of year, this one, because it's an unnecessary evil. You do need to get match practice. You have to play games of football. But as you said, the last thing you want to do when you've just done 4 or 5 months of preseason is to get injured. I was at the Kangaroos Intra Club on Wednesday when Robbie Tarrant got tackled and was by a teammate, unfortunately fell forward on it, hurt his shoulder, and he's now touch and go for round one as well, especially when it's your star players. You just, it's the worst thing to hear as a fan, but Unfortunately, as part of the sport that we play, and it's quite a brutal sport, injuries will happen. So you do cross your fingers and toes, but unfortunately, there will be some players that get hurt, and you just pray that it's not anyone from your club.
That said, Collingwood's depth is unbelievable. I tried to do their round one team at the other day, and it is absolutely stacked. I was struggling to get even Travis Varko in their team, so they do have some depth there, but hopefully De Goey play round one.
But you're able to find a spot for Jordan Ruffhead, even though this this team of Collingwood's that made the grand final didn't have Jamie Elliott, Dane Beams, Daniel Wells, Darcy Moore, Ben Reid. So there's five players that weren't even in their grand final, and you've slotted Jordan Ruffhead straight into their starting 18.
Starting fullback, Joey. We need to have a bet on that. There's a few other injuries, Em. I'll fire through them. Josh Caddy at Richmond, some ankle soreness. He's going to miss 2 or 3 weeks, Neil Baum says. But we know Neil Baum can sometimes tell some porky pies in this front. He once said Brad Elton's is going to miss 2 weeks. He ended up missing 4 months back in the day there at Geelong. So he's touch and go for round one. Nakia Cockatoo just cannot get a clean run at it. He's got an adductor and some hamstring soreness, light duties for a week or two. He might start the season in the VFL. And Lin Jong, this guy desperately needs some luck. He's done a serious hamstring injury, Joey and Em, and that could keep him off legs for about 10 weeks or so. So he's going to struggle to play in the first few months, it's fair to say. And some really unlucky blows for those clubs, Em.
And still reading this morning, Jay, as well, that Buddy Franklin, you know, not a certainty to line up round one or two for the Swans with still those issues with his groin and that surgery that he had last year.
They're just going to be so careful with him, Em. He hardly trained at all last year. He struggled with those injuries, so they want to get him cherry ripe. So I think there's real doubts on whether he's going to play the first 2 weeks, maybe even the first 3 or 4 rounds of the AFL season. So they're going to be super careful, Joey.
And we're going to speak to Paddy Dangerfield in the second hour, but imagine if one of these big guns get injured playing AFLX and the uproar that's going to happen then. We might ask Paddy about that, but that is another big one that we'll keep an eye out for next Saturday after they play the AFLX on Friday night.
Pretty sure they'll just be rolling around in second gear, the AFLX boys. What about this 666, Joey? Because I spoke to some clubs this week about the likely changes them that would have on the season proper. Alistair Clarkson already said that scores from clearances should go north, basically more breathing space, more room for the on-ballers to burst forward. Are you predicting much of a change? Because Max Gawn interestingly said this week that he thinks strong on ball teams who can regularly win the ball out of the mixer there could dominate. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I was in at Fox Footy yesterday and the AFL came and spoke to us about the new rules, and they have already said that there's been a big emphasis on scoring from centre bounces because it is going to be a bit more open with both teams having their six forwards inside the forward 50. So you will see some different tactics. You're right about the dominant ruckman can dominate, but we're also hearing you might not necessarily have those big-bodied midfielders that are great in congestion, like the Paddy Cripses and so forth, in the centre bounces. We're hearing teams might play their fleet-footed smalls that are lightning quick, like a Daniel Rioli.
Burst.
Instead of that, maybe Trent Cotch in a centre bounce, you might have a Daniel Rioli who can be like a nimble cat, bounce on the footy and burst away.
Stevenson.
Jaden Stevenson. So that is going to be something to look forward to. And what that does, it just gives a team already some firepower to get inside 50, even numbers, and try and increase scoring.
And just before we ran out the footy chat, Joey, what did you make this week of the new chairman of St Kilda, Andrew Bassett, saying St Kilda had a mess of a culture, a terrible culture 5 or 6 years ago?
He was referring to the club in regards to the facilities out at Seaford, the administration, our list management strategy, sponsorships and all those sorts of things, and just how to put the club in debt is what he's referring to with the culture at the time, and meaning that this new current regime have just got they're coming from a bit of a fair way back with that move to Seaford and all the struggles financially. So I think it was a relatively fair comment, and you know, I'm sure this new regime are doing great things.
Well, it's time to make the switch to the new TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X golf ball. The all-new TP5 launches higher, travels 8 yards further than the previous model, and with more spin around the green and an incredible feel. They're so good. Some of the best players in the world use them, like Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, and Rory McIlroy. Into your golf, boys? Are any of those your favourite players?
Well, I love the golf, but I need more than a good golf ball to help my golf game. So it's a start, but I need a lot more.
Maybe this could help. The new TaylorMade TP5 and TP5 golf balls, engineered to be better than your current golf ball. The all-new TP5 golf balls feels amazing and is incredibly long. It's an all-Melbourne final for the Big Bash League, the Stars taking on the Renegades at Marvel Stadium, and it's a particularly big deal for the Stars, who have gone from wooden spooners last year to having a real shot at the title in 2019, and one of their main men, Seb Gotch, has been kind enough to join us ahead of the big one tomorrow. Welcome to the show, Seb.
Hello all, how are we?
Very well. Congrats on making the final. How are the boys feeling ahead of tomorrow?
Thank you very much. We're pumped. We can't wait. Obviously, it's been a big turnaround for us from last year to where we are now. So we're really excited, but we've still got one more game to go, and hopefully we finish off on the right note.
Seb, it's going to be a massive game tomorrow, no doubt. Now, of course, everyone be wanting to have good preparations, good night's sleep, sort of a comfortable build-in. Am I right in thinking that you guys might have had a unwanted fire alarm about 2 a.m. this morning, forcing the players of both teams and the commentators, including our good friend Mark Howard, out onto the street?
Well, I'm actually located in Melbourne, so I don't sleep at the hotel, but I will find out for you, Jay. I can't be sure.
Well, this is what happened last night, boys. This is what I'm told. Howie, part of the great commentary team there, said that at 2 a.m, the Stars and the Renegades are both staying at the Olsen Hotel. 2 a.m, the fire alarm went off. Fire trucks arrived. The whole hotel had to be evacuated. And all your teammates got you, I think, spent 20 minutes out on the pavement.
Well, I'm sure they would have been better. But hopefully everything's all right.
Now, Gotchi, I wanted to ask about your captain, Glenn Maxwell, because he seems like a laid-back character. Certainly the way he plays his cricket is nice and relaxed. Has his captaincy style this season, you think, helped the team? Just made it flow a bit better to lead into this final?
Yeah, absolutely. We had John Hastings last year, and he, you know, he was a fantastic captain as well. So Maxie's come in. He sort of had his own way of doing things, but I think the biggest influence he's brought in is just how clear he is and how he gives everyone a plan and just sort of expects it to be. So everyone goes into each game knowing what their role is, and Maxie just adapts accordingly to whatever field he needs to set or whatever batsman needs to do when they come in at the time.
Showing some maturity too, I think, Joey and Emma. I think it might be time to get him in the test team or thereabouts. Hey, I took my five-year-old along to the Renegades game last night, and I thought they were absolutely cooked early on in their batting innings, chasing down 180. What did you think, Gotchi, when Dan Christian at the end was just crushing them over the fence to book the grand final berth?
He's remarkable, Dan. I played with him, and he's one of those guys that in the games well. So, doing it for a while now.
Sorry, Seb, we've got a terrible line. I might have to get you to move around wherever you are in your apartment or your house or something.
Go stand in your laundry or whatever it is, Seb.
Hang the phone out the window.
The washer. Is that better? You got me.
It is.
Thank you.
And he's a super player, so definitely wasn't surprised when he was stuck over the fence, but I think all Melbournians were pretty happy to see a few fly through as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a big night tomorrow night. The wicket at Marvel Stadium has been a bit up and down over the season, I think it's been fair to say, but it looked to be in great nick last night. Are you excited to be playing the final at Marvel?
Yeah, obviously there's been a lot of talk about whether it should be at the MCG or Marvel, but I think that's the benefit of finishing high on the ladder. So the wicket last night looked great. You know, there was a bit in it for the bowlers, but the batsmen were still able to get a few away. So hopefully they think similar, and we can play some cricket on Sunday.
Got you. We wish you the luck, best of luck in the final. We've been admiring your cricket prowess, but can I just ask you, having covered you in your draft year, I think it was 2011, kicked some unbelievable goals from the boundary line. You did. How close did you come to pursuing an AFL career? Did you have clubs knocking down the door to get you on their list?
Not really, Jay. I was, you know, I'm only just above 5 foot, so it's quite difficult to crack into the AFL league when you're not very tall. But I enjoyed my footy, you know, under 18s year and loved playing. But the height discrimination in cricket isn't as bad, I guess.
Got to be honest, Joey's having a real good giggle right now.
I'm a bit taller. I'm 5'10".
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I've sort of got you covered.
Hey, Seb, thanks for joining us this morning, mate. And good luck to the Melbourne Stars tomorrow. It's going to be a big event starting at 2:45 at Marvel Stadium. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. Cheers.
Emma, it's worth touching on, Jay, too. Did you know this stat, that it's the eighth season of BBL, obviously BBL 8, and now the Renegades are the only team to have not made the final in BBL history. So now they are the eighth team to have made the final, and one of these teams have never won it, so it'll be the sixth team in eight seasons to have won a BBL title. So it's been great for the competition that everyone has had their chance and such an even competition.
It is like equalisation in
equalisation at its best, absolutely.
I mean, the Saints are going to win a flag too at some point.
Nice amount of depth in the BBL. Well, last night the Melbourne Renegades beat the Sydney Sixers and now they'll play the Melbourne Stars in the KFC Big Bash final. It's going to be a big derby final at Marvel Stadium tomorrow from 2:45 p.m. Boys, who are you tipping?
Go the Stars. I'm a Stars man.
Renegades for me, Joey.
Okay, Melbourne derbies are always a massive deal and you can expect this final to be even bigger. That's the KFC Big Bash final tomorrow at Marvel Stadium from 2:45. Tickets are on sale now, so get in quick. You can pre-order and plan your day at melbournerenegades.com.au. Now, we just had some breaking news from Jay about some shenanigans at the Olsen Hotel on Chapel Street last night, where both the Melbourne BBL teams are staying ahead of the final tomorrow, as are many of the commentators, including Fox Cricket's Mark Howard. Howie, what's the story? What happened last night?
Well, it was a bloody shambles. That's what happened. Great to speak to you all. It's been a long BBL test season. It's been fun, but it's been long. I don't sleep that well in hotels. I'd finally got to sleep about 2 o'clock. At 2:30, there's klaxons, there's alarms, there's noise going on, and you have that moment of thinking, maybe I can just try and sleep through this. And then you realise, well, what happens if my hotel room's on fire?
Yeah.
So, down the emergency exit, and just some really dishevelled-looking cricketers, coaches, one cricketer who I won't name, wearing the hotel dressing gown, which was really, really nice. It's not the ideal preparation for anyone. And in the end, I think it was a false alarm. But 2:30 in the morning, I think there's probably 150 people and some well-known cricketers standing out there waiting to see if the hotel was on fire or not.
It's fair to say you do sound a bit tired, Howie. You sound a little bit flat this morning, mate. So you must
don't poke the bear.
It's been a long campaign. The only bloke that didn't look dishevelled was Adam Gilchrist, because he was still in the bar at the time, because he's one of the great phenomena of the world, Gilly. So he just interrupted his little session for a period and then continued on with what he was doing.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Howie. There wasn't a bit of a head count of the players, was there, just to see which players were actually in their hotel rooms and who might not have even been aware because they were still out?
It's a very good point, Joey, and I was having a laugh about that with Stephen Fleming. He said it's always interesting when this happens around the world to see, obviously it was a night off for the Melbourne Stars, to see which players are in the hotel, which players aren't in the hotel, etc. But I think all were present and accounted for. But you've got to be unbiased, obviously, when you're calling any sport, but pretty nice to have two Melbourne teams going out at Sunday. So the boys will have had plenty of sleep, but it should be fun. And that pitch was good last night, so if they can reproduce that, it should be a cracker.
Having watching it last night, Howie, I thought the Renegades were gone for all money, but what a chase it was. Just give it, who do you think will win tomorrow? What's your gut feel? You watch both teams all summer long. Where's your money?
It's not that hard, mate. We're not asking you to pick your favourite child.
Yeah, I do sit on the fence, though. And it probably is my son at the moment, but that's a whole other story. I think the Melbourne Stars just. I think Maxwell's been in unbelievable form. So I'm tipping the Stars, but I just hope we get a good game. It was BBL at its best last night with a good game. That's everyone. Why, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about the tournament, but that's why everyone loves it when it was like it was last night. So, but they need a prelim. I think it's unfair that a team can dominate the competition like the Hurricanes and get knocked out in the first semi. But I know Cricket Australia are looking at that, so I think you'll find a pretty different looking Big Bash competition next year.
Yeah, including the length of how the season progressed as well. Hey, Howie, make sure you go get your beauty sleep, Dale. Have you looking your best for tomorrow's big final on Fox Cricket?
Easy, Em. When it's in 4K, you need serious Botox, because you look about 65. So
you can see every line.
That's exactly. And there's a few there. And how show's going well. I'm enjoying it, guys.
Your commentary has been outstanding for Fox, can I say, Howie. Great by move, getting them and you on board. Doing a great job throughout all the tests. And I've noticed that the shirts you're wearing just feel a little bit tighter. Have you been working out of late, mate? Because I've noticed some growth around the chest and bicep region.
The pectoral area.
You've still been having those protein shakes, haven't you?
That's why you're one of the great journalists, because you notice these things. They give me a small shirt, but it is medium around the arms to contain the whole system. So, no, you're spot on there, brother.
Yeah, breaking all the big stories on Dead Set Legends this morning. Hey, thanks, Howie, for joining us.
Cheers, guys.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, plenty of sport going on. Let's take you through a little bit of sport that's happening all around the country today. The All-Stars game in the NRL happened at Amy Park last night. They had 18,000 fans there, which is a good turnout for a pre-season game between two sides that have only formed in the last couple of weeks. They played the game in four quarters, which is unusual in the NRL, but I actually really, really liked it. It made it a free-flowing and fast-paced kind of game. Josh Adokara, a man from the Storm, he was on fire, and in the end, the Indigenous side, too good for the Maori team, 34-14 there. And in the women's, the Maori side were victorious over the Indigenous side.
I was at the cricket, so I saw on Twitter some of the Haka, but the Pacific Islander team did something before the game. How was all that? Was it?
Well, that's one of the best things about this Indigenous Maori contest, Jay, I reckon, is that you involve so much of the cultural elements of both the Maori sides and the Indigenous sides. So their war cries and the haka and real cultural symbolism and celebrating, you know, where they've come from and now playing in the NRL. I thought it was a really good display. They gave it a rest last year, so it had 12 months off to kind of recover and get some new legs. And it did last night. You know, 18,000 fans to go and watch that when AFL's just around the corner. Yeah. Bravo to the NRL.
It was a great turnout. There was a smorgasbord of sport on last night. I called the AFLW. The Kangaroos had a 31-point victory over the Western Bulldogs to cement their spot as the premiership favourites. They're 3 from 3, the Kangaroos. They are looking very hard to beat.
And you called them early, the Roos.
Yeah, Jerry. They are. They're full of talent, that team. They're going to be hard to beat. The Melbourne Rebels, the Super Rugby season kicked off last night. Our Melbourne Rebels had a 34-27 win over the ACT Brumbies, so they got their season off to a start. And the NBL, final round of the NBL season before the finals start. The Perth Wildcats, Melbourne United and Sydney Kings have locked in a playoff spot, and Adelaide and Brisbane have still got a game to play. Brisbane are playing today, I believe, to try and lock down fourth spot in the NBL. So the finals are ramping up there. All-Star weekend in the NBA as well coming up this weekend. So plenty of sports still on around Australia and around the world.
What about the cricket, though? Yep. We did just speak to Howie, and we've spoken to Seb Gotch this morning about the BBL final tomorrow. What about it being played at Marvel Stadium? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it has to be at Marvel because if it's a competition with any integrity at all, the highest ranked team deserves to play the final at the home ground. It's not like we're playing backyard cricket with your mates and say we're going to go to Simo's house because her mum makes better sandwiches or it doesn't have the prickle bush or something like that. The highest ranked team deserves the home ground, Joe. It's not a Mickey Mouse competition where you can just make a last switch to boost crowd figures. And I was at Marvel last night, and there was bugger all people there. So if you want to get along to the cricket tomorrow, don't worry. There will be a ticket in a seat for you.
I don't think there's any debate there. I think if we can get 30 to 40,000 people for the final at Marvel Stadium, whether the roof's open or shut, I think it'd be a great spectacle. As we Emma said earlier, the pitch last night played terrific at Marvel. So I think that's only fair and should be a great final.
Em, do you think we should switch or where do you stand?
No, I think it should be played where the home, you know, the top finishing team finishes, of course. But at the same time, I mean, the one-day turnaround to get fans there, I think the BBL will be thanking their lucky stars that it's two Melbourne teams playing in the final so they can get a really big crowd there and get to Marvel Stadium really easily. But, you know, if it was a Sydney team, you know, it'd be a different set of circumstances, wouldn't it?
It would.
To fill the ground.
And I like Howie's call before, how he said they're going to introduce a preliminary final most likely next year. That is good because we keep seeing in the BBL where the top-ranked team gets bundled out in the semi-final. I think that's a bit harsh.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
You wanted to have a chat quickly about the AFLW, though, because you went along the other night, Jay.
Yes, there has been a lot of criticism, a lot of naysaying, Emma, about the women's game. And certainly the first season of the AFLW was marred a little bit by congestion and low scoring. But I went along to the Adelaide-Carlton game on Sunday, Joey, and I was thoroughly impressed. There is absolutely no doubt the skills and the pace and the quality of the game has gone up a big level. I thought it was an absolute ripper game on Sunday, and I can't wait to take my kids, to be honest. I thought it was a really entertaining battle, and for the people out there who have probably been potting it a little bit, I reckon maybe just go down and catch a game because they might be pleasantly surprised. I thought Anne Hatchard, Karen Harrington, Erin Phillips, who we know, they absolutely star. Darcy Vesio, they're quickly becoming heroes, ladies.
It's a good call, Jay, and I know there are a lot of haters out there that have been quite vocal that have probably, you know, had too much of an input into without watching the games. And as you said, those that do watch it and have taken interest would no doubt be impressed with the skill levels. I mean, we've had games already in the first two rounds this year where there's been 16, 17 goals kicked combined. And what people have got to realise, the women's game only goes for just over 50% of what the men's games go for. They only play 15-minute quarters with a couple of minutes time on. So you're looking at 17, 18-minute quarters. The men play over 30 minutes. So when you extrapolate out the amount of goals, 16 goals combined is almost equivalent to 30 goals in a men's game. So the skills are certainly improving. There have been some really great games. As I said, the Kangaroos are the team to beat. Their skill level is of high quality. They can move the ball, passing it down the field easily. The talent is continually improving. So I'm glad you enjoyed it, because a lot of people that have gone to the games have been really impressed with, it's still got work in progress, but the continual improvement of these girls, and particularly the young ones coming through, are showing plenty of talent.
And dished out some big hits.
Yeah, there were some never been in question.
Heavy bumps. Yeah. it's fair to say. But that Carlton Adelaide game, that was the best women's game I've seen in the history of the
AFL. There's been some really good football this year. It's been really enjoyable to continue to call, and there will still be some more good games over this weekend and for the next 4 to 5 weeks.
I find it very interesting, you know, how people can be so critical of a game, really, that's only had its professional inception for a couple of years. I mean, things take time to build. The skill level takes time to build when there's more eyeballs on these girls playing week in, week out. But I think it's, you know, only one way up for the women's game, and it's, you know, it's towards the sky. So congrats to all the girls for getting involved for another year. Hey, next weekend, we've got our first official taste of AFL for the year with the realestate.com.au AFLX. It's on for one night only, Friday the 22nd of Feb at Marvel Stadium. Tickets start from just $15 and kids go free, which is terrific news. Tickets at ticketmaster.com.au. Now, he's one of the game's biggest stars with a whole host of accolades to his name. You know, Brownlow medals, five-time All-Australian, Geelong vice-captain. But come next weekend, he'll have his own team to lead out onto the park in the AFLX. He's captaining the Bolts and he joins us on the line this morning. Good morning, Patrick Dangerfield.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get into the footy, Patrick, can we talk about an incident that has occurred down on the Surf Coast in the last couple of weeks? Is it true that you did save your cousin's life in the surf last week?
No, I wasn't actually there, but if you read the papers, apparently I was.
Oh, what happened, Patty? Explain.
No, well, basically he was punched out in the surf. So, you never want anyone physically assaulted, no matter where you are, obviously, but doing something you love doing, it's the last thing you expect.
Well, I read that you, I mean, not all heroes wear caps, Danger. They wear wetsuits. I heard you were there. You were heroically split it up. You saved his life. You weren't even in the vicinity. Is that what you're saying?
No, exactly right. So, no, I didn't save anyone's life. I was there at the end of picking up and taking home, but certainly wasn't there when the incident occurred.
Newspapers getting it wrong, Jay. Never heard of it before.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure where I read that.
Jay's a bit flat now.
I didn't write it, Danger. Hey, on the footy, I tell you what.
Hey, I'm happy to take it, you know, rescuer, but not quite true.
I love the banter on the AFLX draft, mate. You guys are going to have a lot of fun with this, I'm sure. Now, with the tournament coming up, are you guys going to get as captain, are you going to get the boys together for a training session, mate, for a bit of run around on Marvel Stadium, or are you just going to go take them fishing?
Well, we'll be quite relaxed. We've got a bit of a run around on the Thursday, but there's no coaches, but Cooper Hodge is going to take the mantle of the Bolts. He's going to lead us to victory. So I'm sure little Coop's got some inspiring words for us.
And Danger, you did do the draft. You got to pick your players that you wanted. You've got Sidebottom, you've Andrew Gaff, Luke Park. You've picked some stars. But did you upset anyone? Did you have any text message from anyone saying, excuse me, Danger, you forgot about me? Anyone that was a bit flat, they didn't get picked up?
I'll be honest with you, Joey. Tom Stewart has been a very, very sour for the last week. He still hasn't forgiven me. But unfortunately, you can only have four players from each team. But he may not kick me the ball this year.
So you chose Tommy Hawkins and Mark Blitzars over Tommy Stewart. So basically, you're telling Tommy Stewart who your favourites are down at the footy club, and he now knows where he sits in the pecking order.
I just said, look, the key positions are more important than anything else. And he said, well, what about reigning All-Australian?
That's a fair point.
Fair enough.
Danger, at the start of the show, we normally get together for a bit of a production meeting. And Joey here is a bit flat because we hear that the AFL actually wanted to introduce the concept where you got to pick a former player as well.
And
the St Kilda champ next to me couldn't have been that excited to pull the boots back on the show. Everyone, his hamstrings fine. And we see that Boomer Harvey tore up the Roos intra club. Who would you go for if you got to pick a former player, do you think?
Look, Joey definitely been in the top 25.
That's very kind.
Kicking to himself.
I actually think that concept would be sensational. I think because ASLX is, it's been created, so you can sort of do with it, what the ASL likes. I think there's the potential for that to certainly happen. In terms of who I would choose, it would certainly be someone that's fresh out of the game rather than... a few of the legends that were legends 20 years ago and act like they were legends, in the last 24 months.
The fat and slow ones. Yeah, the fat and slow ones that have put on a bit of weight. Danger, what can we expect? Can you tell for the cynics, what can we expect next Friday night? What can we expect to see and why should the kids turn out and have a look at this concept?
I think in terms of what you'll see, sort of that all-star concept in the NBA where there'll be plenty of fun. I think the angles and the... just where cameras are able to go during the game and pre-game will be far different to what you see with ASL games. There's some clubs that do open up their doors, but at the same time, it's always a censored message because clubs are very careful with their IP, which is fair enough. Whereas this concept is sort of throwing that out the door. It's bringing you behind closed doors what stars and players are really like pre-game. And in terms of the actual game at Marvel, the on-ground activations and just how engaging players will be with fans will be far different to what you normally get because you don't get that at the end of the game. This will be during it, which is sort of not really what we get at the moment.
Should be a bit of fun, Danger. We're looking forward to it, mate. Just one serious footy one. What do you reckon of the 6-6-6 starting positions? Talking to some clubs this week, they reckon the goals, the scores from centre clearance wins are going to go north. Sounds like you're moving more on ball this year. Do you like it? What do you think's going to happen with it?
I think it's a great rule. I think it's going to be interesting to see how teams play it because obviously you can no longer flood your defence from a starting centre bounce. And if you choose to put your wings back, the opposition might, they might hold structure with their wings and then keep them around the ball. And that makes it really difficult, to try and defend that because you're basically giving away possession at the centre bounce. So I think that'll be more crucial than ever. I think it will create more scoring opportunities. And I think along with the hands in the back row, which has been tweaked, which is really how it should have always been, I think scoring definitely goes up. I think we'll have to wait and see with how teams play it in terms of what's going to be the best way of going forward. It will be interesting to see if teams keep their sort of powder dry throughout the JLT series, although they have to give their game plan away early.
Well, there you go, a vote of confidence from Patrick Dangerfield this morning on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Thanks for joining us, mate, and good luck for the AFLX tournament next weekend.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Yeah, therealestate.com.au, AFLX, it's on for one night only, Friday the 22nd of Feb at Marvel Stadium. Tickets are just $15 and kids go free. Tickets at ticketmaster.com.au.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Let's talk a little bit of racing because Winx makes her long-awaited return to the racetrack today up in Sydney for the Apollo Stakes. But this is big news, guys, in racing circles because this will probably be her last campaign on the racetrack.
What's your take on her still running around, Emma? Do you think that, after four Cox plates, she should have retired on a high note then? Do you think this is sort of all worth the while? Or are they running a risk here? What are your thoughts?
There's definitely a risk, Jay, in running her, over four starts this autumn campaign because she is a, 7-year-old going on eight towards the end of the year. She's going for her 30th straight win today. I think the retirement plan of maybe post Cox Plate, her fourth record-breaking Cox Plate last year, it would have been a really romantic end to her career. Having said that, from all reports from Chris Waller, her trainer, and Hugh Bowman, who's on board every single start, she's going as good as she ever has. She's firing on all cylinders. She's enjoying her work. She wants to get to the racetrack. So, if we see a terrific, all-encompassing kind of performance from Winx again today, then, I think the naysayers will put those thoughts to bed and say, yeah, she can go around a couple more times.
And there's no reason why she should lose, but there is trepidation from the punters out there speaking to people because it's almost like she's got nothing to gain and everything to lose by this campaign because if she does get beaten, it'll be a disaster for her legacy and for what she stands for. But we are hoping that she can win today. There are a couple of good horses in the race, but you'd expect Winx, if she's anywhere near her best, 1,400 first up, she'll get the job done today. It's at 3:50, race six today. So if you're around the TV at about or the radio at about 3:45. Tune in and watch the greatest horse of all time, I believe. I don't know what interesting discussion that anyway, where Winx sits in Australia's greatest ever horses. But Emma, you got any thoughts on that?
For me, Joey, she is. I think prior to her fourth Cox Plate, oh, probably the sentimental side of me said Maccabi Diva with her three Melbourne Cups. Yep. But fourth Cox Plate, she's the greatest in the world by her ratings nowadays. She's our greatest ever thoroughbred I think we've ever seen. Following on from that, I would say Maccabi with her three Melbourne Cups. You've got to include Kingston Town with his three Cox Plates, but also Farlap. I mean, none of us were around to see him race back in, you know, the 30s, but I think, you know, the amount of racing that he had and the distances he covered, you know, very wide and varied, but also the wartime sentiment and the positive attitude that people had towards a good time story back in those days obviously elevates him to that discussion. But for me, Winx, the greatest of all time.
And what's going on with the field, though? And Joey, you might chip in here, because is there eight Walla runners, or is this a boat race, or what's happening?
Well, they need to get a field together, because nobody wants to run in the same race as Winx, because you can't win, basically. So Chris Waller's got seven horses in the race.
It's his own race.
I think he can make sure that it sets up nicely for Winx to have a win, you'd like to think.
Hey, and what do you think about some sort of statue, or what's going to be the tribute piece for Winx? Do you think she gets a statue somewhere up in Sydney or Melbourne? What are your thoughts?
I reckon she definitely gets a statue somewhere, whether it be at Moonee Valley, where, you know, she's obviously made history with those Cox Plates.
Good call.
Be nice to see when you walk through the gates down at Moonee Valley, or at Randwick, where, you know, the majority of her racing has occurred and will continue to happen for the next few weeks. She'll probably finish her career at Royal Randwick on the 13th of April in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes.
I like when we did discuss whether there already is a statue of a horse at Moonee Valley, and we asked you, Jay, and you said, I don't know, because every time I go to Moonee Valley, I'm blind drunk and I wouldn't even know what's there.
Hey, honesty's the best policy.
I'm normally worried like about
Friday night races at the Valley.
I'm normally worried about who's going to win the first and who shouted it is, to
exactly
be honest.
Right. Exactly right.
Hey, speaking of winning, can I
blow
my own trumpet for a little second?
Yes.
We've decided to have a punting competition on this show between Joey and myself primarily, but Jay, you've wanted to jump on board, which we're okay to do, Dal, if you want to do that.
Yeah, I felt a bit left out. Well done to you. You were confident in your runner last week and it saluted. So $100 on, you're on $260. Joey picked the thing each
Knights
way.
Knights Watch each way and it ran third, so money back.
Yeah, so
you've got my 100.
$260, you're on $100. And I just wanted to go with something that represents the good people out there. And that is Pikey in the last. Now, we know that
Willie Pike in Ascot, yep.
Willie Pike, the jockey, he's the people's champ. And, you know, when you're $100 down or in the hole on a Saturday, where do you look to? You look to Pikey to get to boot something home in the last at Ascot. So he's in the sixth.
Your bet every week is going to be Willie Pike's last ride in Perth. Yeah, the get out of jail stakes, they call it.
I think that's only fair, Joey. And his last ride is in the sixth at Ascot today, Creative Hero. I think it's covered. It's a favourite, of course. $2.30, so I'll have Pikey in the last. He missed out for me last Saturday, but hopefully gets home today.
Okay, I'm going to have 100. Race 6 today at Flemington, number 10 called Antar. It's run 5 on the trot. Just go with the obvious. It's paying $4.40. It's great value. I'm having $100 on Antar to win race 6 today.
Race 6,
all right,
number,
so you're having 100
10,
clean on the
just
nose,
straight out
are you?
Today. Yeah, yep.
Okay. M? Well, for me today, I'm going something with a bit of value, because I did feel a bit cheeky last week. Especially because in the Blue Diamond Preludes, we had I'm Immortal, trained by my Uncle Anthony, you know, saluting in the Colts and the Geldings edition. And then I probably should have let on that I was going to have something on Liar in the Phillies edition, because it was paying $18 and she won. So that was nice for the bank account, let's be honest.
You meant to share that sort of stuff.
For me today, race 8, the Lightning, the feature at Flemington over the 1,000. I am going for Divine Quality, but I'm going to split my 100 50 each way for the win. She's currently paying about $13, $3.90 the place. But, you know, 50 on each of those, that could see me rise to the top a little further.
Race 8, number what, Em?
Number 6. We might have to get these online. We might get the boys to put these up online. Okay. We'll keep tabs all year.
The socials as
Emma's well. Race 8, number 6. Joey, your race 6, number 10. And I'm Pikey in the last at Ascot.
Just remember six. Pikey in the last at Ascot. Last night, the Melbourne Renegades beat the Sydney Sixers, and now they'll play the Melbourne Stars in the KFC Big Bash final. It's going to be a big derby final at Marvel Stadium. It's all happening tomorrow, from 2:45. Guys, you're going to head along and see the Melbourne teams battle it out?
Definitely, yeah. The kids love that sort of stuff, Joey.
Yeah, Noah's too young at the moment, but I can't wait to take him in a few years.
Yeah, Melbourne derbies are always massive, and you can expect this final to be even bigger. It's the KFC Big Bash final tomorrow at Marvel Stadium from 2:45. Tickets are on sale now, and you can pre-order and plan your day at melbournerenegades.com.au. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. Well, 5 weeks until the AFL season proper starts, and no doubt plenty of hard work to happen in the meantime with pre-season. And to get us excited about 2019 and the Demons' chances, one of their top defenders, Sam Frost, joins us on the line this morning. Good morning to you, Sam.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for joining us. How has the preseason been so far? Grueling in every aspect. I hear that some of the sessions have even involved a little bit of ballet.
A little bit of ballet. I personally haven't done any ballet, but it's been a pretty good preseason for us. A little bit shorter than what we're used to, having made finals. There's tough sessions, but it's been really good overall.
Sam, how have you addressed the preliminary final thrashing to West Coast? It was a 66-point defeat over there. Disappointing way to end what was a terrific season in 2018. How did you move on from that to then gear up for 2019?
It was definitely disappointing. But I suppose when you finish up and then you've got sort of 8 to 10 weeks off, everyone moves on in their own way. And then we didn't. We addressed it once, I think, when we came back. And Goody said, that's the last time we talk about it. And we look forward to next year, and we know there's a lot of work to be done and we got to improve. But yeah, we just kind of touched on it very briefly and just tried to move on.
Joey, how does that differ from your experiences? You obviously played in, what, 3 grand finals. Did you go back and review them?
That's interesting. There are 2 ways to do it. You can move on and say, that's last season, we move on. Or you can use it as a learning tool. And I think most of the time when we lost either prelims or grand finals throughout our career, we use it as a learning tool because sometimes those games you can learn the most. But every club's got their own way of going about it. You can move on. It is a fresh season. And
just grab the popcorn and watch the
Lizard. Yeah, exactly right.
Hey, Frosty, I want to ask you about Steve May. Obviously, the club made a big move to bring in a gun fullback from Gold Coast, and we all know how good a player he is. You play a similar position. How have you felt that in the preseason, mate? Has the competition for that spot just gone up a notch?
I suppose it has. It's inevitable when you get strong players in similar positions, but he slotted in really well to training, and it's been quite good having him there. And obviously, he's got a lot of experience, and he's been a leader for a number of years with the Gold Coast. It's going to be tight for spots, but you think about the list and every line is going to be really tight for spots, and that's just how it goes. There's going to be people that miss out throughout the season, but as a club as a whole, you wouldn't want to be in any other position really, because it just adds competition and depth. So, besides a little hiccup with his hamstring, he's been going really well.
And what I love about your game, mate, is that spring and bounce, Joey, that Frosty brings to the Demons. For a big bloke, mate, you certainly hit the ball with some speed. Hey, the 666, we were talking about that earlier, the massive buzz at Clubland at the moment. As a defender, do you think that's going to put you guys under a lot more aerial pressure in the contest? Because that ball's going to be coming in more quickly, isn't it, to more one-on-one contests back there. How are you guys handling that from a backline perspective?
So far it's just we've just been sort of practicing in our match play blocks of training. If we're doing centre bounce, just playing it out with the 666 just to see how it sort of feels and how it might go. But really, it's going to be hard to know until we're out there doing it for real. So, I mean, we've talked about it, but the coaches are almost just wanting to experiment a bit and just see what happens with it without trying to preempt too much how things are going to go. But yeah, I mean, it's not something that worries us at all. We don't mind being one-on-one as well. We've got some good aerial defenders, so true. Yeah, not too stressed.
More squeaky bum time for key defenders, I think, Joey, it's fair to say.
Hey, Sam, thanks for joining us this morning on Dead Set Legends. Sounds like the Demons have got their eye on the prize for 2019, but also going in with a pretty relaxed attitude. Good luck for the next 5 weeks before the season begins.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys. Good to talk to you.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Now, of course, I'm new to the team this year and have been loving the last couple of weeks, gent. So thanks for having me on board. And great good to get to know you both a little bit better, especially in the ad breaks where you know, content we probably can't broadcast on Triple M. But we've been talking about our pets. I've got a golden retriever called Utah, who is a beautiful little dog. And then, and Joey, you've got Alfie.
Yeah, little spoodle Alfie. Yeah. Great little pet.
And how does he go with
best mates
Noah?
Already? Yeah. Noah, they're best mates, so that's awesome.
How's Utah going with the pregnancy?
He's following me around. Yeah. He knows what's going on. But I think he's going to be great once the baby's born in a couple of months' time. But this is not about me. This is about you. And I know we've already been stuck into you this morning about your poor barbecue skills and your inability to host a soiree for your mates. Yep. But you've let something slip and I can't let it go.
Yep.
You are rocking some kind of pet at the moment. What's in the Clark household?
Yeah, most people have, as you said, a pet dog or a pet cat, maybe even some fish or something like that. But our only pet is sort of about 30-odd sea dragons.
What?
It's fair to say. So not your sea monkeys, but your sea dragons. So it's my 5-year-old.
Hang on, what's the difference?
These ones are a bit, I don't know, bigger or something like that. But they're basically...
it's just better marketing,
Well, that's probably fair. They're like fingernail-sized creatures. They start off as eggs. You put them in like a little tank. It's like the size of a small book or something like that. You just add water and within a week you've got these like... sort of weird little creatures swimming around. But we faced a bit of a conundrum, it's fair to say, over Christmas because my wife, the whole family were going to Perth and see my in-laws and all that sort of stuff for 3 weeks. And it's sort of like, geez, what are we going to do with the sea dragons? Because normally you got to...
Oh, yeah, that's the dilemma.
You got a cat.
You have to feed them.
Yeah, you're going to feed every second day like a little scoop full of this green powdery stuff. My wife, to be fair, has totally given up on feeding them too. She's just absolutely cut them. So that's up to me. But we got to Christmas, Joe. We're going away for 3 weeks. Normally with the cat or the dog, you take it round your cousin's house or your kennel.
Yeah,
someone's
happy to look after a pet cat or dog.
What do you do with a Game Boy-sized tank full of sea dragons? Because you can't really go around to your neighbour with this awkward sort of weird-smelling sort of...
Hey, they're your pets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I asked my wife this, and we've got an in-ground trampoline at the back, which sort of the hole sort of fills with water. And at the time I said, let's set them free. Let's put them out in that sort of the swamp that we got underneath the trampoline and just see how they go out in the wild. That's what I thought. But she said, no, let's keep them in the kitchen. It got hot over Christmas and, just see how they'd go without food for 3 weeks. So, look, I lost that conversation and we did just keep them and sort of, starved them for about 3 weeks. And look, I would say at least half of them survived. So they're still going on strong, the sea dragons.
Are they carnivorous, the sea dragons? Did they prey upon each other to keep each other alive?
They do seem to like each other a lot. I've never heard of anyone have
sea joined at the hip.
When I see dragons, sea eagles, sea dragons, I've never heard of anyone.
Anyway,
I think you need some help, mate. We've got to really revolutionise the pet situation in the Clark household.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Hey, Emma, I'm going to kick things off today. And you know what? Give me a spell, Apple. You know the crew who make the phones and all the technology and the gadgets. I got the new iPhone, the iPhone 10, I think it's called, the iPhone X. I miss the home button. You know, like Joey's got it, iPhone 8, you just press your little thumb on the thing and it automatically unlocks. Now I've got this, with the new iPhone, it's got Face ID. So it's basically got to look at your face and that's how it opens. But it's very temperamental, Joey and Emma. It's hard to get the right angle. It's so slow to unlock. I miss the old home button, Joey. Give me a spell, Apple.
Interesting. Give me a spell. Give me a spell, Emma. And I was going to say.
It was crap. That's what
he's
saying.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to be polite. Jay gets a bit upset when we tease his give me a spell. But I was going to save the give me a spell for his barbecue effort last week. It was so good, though. We put it earlier in the show. But you had a barbecue. You spruced it up last week.
Yeah.
You ended up cooking sausages in the fry pan.
I've heard this
because
before.
Because it was too cold to go outside. Yeah. It was too cold. That was my give me a spell. Pretty straightforward. Give me a spell.
Backing over your same gags, Joey.
I am. If you're going to host the barbecue.
Hey, second hour. We can reuse the content. You've got to repeat the best bits. Hey, for me, I'm gonna stick with the world of sport. My give me a spell for this week came from the Australian Cricket Awards, so the AB medal, which was on during the week. It's a black tie event. All of the players, you know, turn up with their gorgeous girlfriends or their partners or their wives, and you know, they're dressed to the nines, looking absolutely delightful. I'm sorry, but Adam Zampa, what were you wearing, mate? Give me a spell. And I know we want to express our individualism with our style and stuff, but having the bow tie just undone around the neck, do it up, mate. Just do up the tie just to even walk the red carpet and give the sport that you love and play for a little bit of credit. That's That's all we can ask.
It was bizarre, wasn't it? He had the red sunglasses sort of look going as well. It was just a bit strange from Adam Zampa.
Look at me, Joe.
Yeah, it was a bit of that, wasn't it? Give me a spell.
Hey, just recapping your tip of the day. So, Em, you've got race 8, number 6.
And I do.
And Joey, you've got race 6, number 10.
Yes.
For the punters.
Here we go. Come on.
I got Pike in the last.
I like it.
All right. Good luck.
Show,
we'll see you next week on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.